It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. This past week, we spoke to Brian Stern, the co-founder of Project Dynamo. He's an Army and Navy veteran as well. He and his team, some of whom are also former military, work to extract American citizens and green card holders out of war zones. They did it in Afghanistan last fall, and they're doing it in Ukraine now. Though Stern told us in this case, the focus is not on Americans only. He says so many people need help. While millions of Ukrainians have fled to other countries, some are trapped in conflict zones or areas where the infrastructure is destroyed. Stern says if he can, he and his team work to get those people out. Incredibly, a lot of his work in Ukraine has been rescuing newborn babies, some of them born prematurely. The logistics and technical aspects, the paperwork, negotiating Russian troops and getting money, all of it's been an uphill battle. And that's an understatement. We often have to cut interviews down for time during the week, but we thought you would like to hear this full interview. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to the Weekday Rundown podcast if you haven't already. Now, here's Brian Stern on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Hi, Brian, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Jessica. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good. Good.
Where are you right now?
I'm west of Zaporizhia. I'm on my way there now. We got stuck with diesel problems.
I have a lot of questions, as you might imagine. I'm sure every reporter who gets you for even a minute thinks that, you know, they can, you know, unpack you. So you tell me if you've got like a hard out time or if you need to go. I don't know what your time frame is.
I'm good. It's unprecedented. I'm actually a little bit ahead of schedule. I've got a good 20 minutes, I think, until dinner closes. So that's okay. That's my heart stop, so I don't starve tonight.
Brian, then let's dive in because we need you to eat. Give me your name and the title you want us to use for the podcast.
Brian Stern, co-founder of Project Dynamo.
And you're former military, or you're a veteran?
I am. Yep, I was in the Army and the Navy.
Okay, what are you, I guess, doing right now? Like, who are you working to save at this moment?
Here at Project Dynamo, we're always really busy. We never have one thing going on. We've rescued over 1,100 people in the last 100 days or whatever it's been. So I'm working three concurrent operations at the same time in the East, while part of my team is working three or four operations kind of back to back in the West.
Are these families? Are these individuals?
Yeah. So we have some Americans that are trapped in occupied territory. They can't get out. We're doing evacuations at a Mariupol. We've done 480 people. We've evacuated 480 people from Mariupol in the last 4 days. So wow. We think we need another 200 or 300, which is awesome because the mighty Red Cross only got about 150 out. So it's kind of nice to kind of cool to be able to trump the mighty Red Cross, you know. But I like the Red Cross, but you know, now that I'm competing a little bit, it's with them, it's cool. And then we have go ahead.
If it's a competition to save, and that's a good competition.
Yeah, right. Like if everyone's working really hard. And then we also have some surrogate babies from Brazil, America, England, and I think Italy that we're also evacuating in the next week at the same time.
I want to talk about babies in a second because I know you've done some extremely harrowing and heroic work on the baby front. But talk to me about Mariupol. It sounds like you've seen the town. I understand more than 20,000 people have been killed there. I mean, what have you seen? What is it like there?
The best way to describe Mariupol, the most effective way to describe it is, especially for New Yorkers, it looks like ground zero after 9/11. That's the best way to describe it, where it's piles of buildings, shells of buildings, lots of dead people, lots of people suffering, lots of tears, lots of unknown, lots of confusion, and take all that 9/11 stuff and just multiply it by 10 or 20. And that's Mariupol. That's the best way to think about it.
We know in Mariupol, there was this big effort to get the soldiers, even families, out of that steel plant for a while. I understand there was some success there with a humanitarian corridor. But have you or your people run into Russian soldiers? And have you had to get creative? Have they ever tried to stop you or harm you as you're rescuing people?
Yeah, so our 480 folks that we got out was 30, don't quote me on the numbers, is over 30 individual operations. And those 30 operations collectively had to negotiate just over 900 Russian checkpoints. So that some of them take 3 or 4 days to negotiate. So, there are Russian soldiers and tanks and stuff. It's Russian occupied territory. So there's Russians everywhere from Mariupol to the border.
You focus on American citizens and yeah, go
no,
on.
No,
tell me.
No. Yeah, no. We just to answer your question. We don't really distinguish. Right. A life is a life is a life. We tend, when Americans are in trouble, we tend to hear about those because we're an American rescue organization. But the vast majority of the people that we rescued are Ukrainian. The vast majority, 85% or more, if I go off the numbers. So of the 480 that we just got out of Mariupol, every single one of those are there's no Americans there. I can tell you that much. They're either 99.9% Ukrainian or 100% Ukrainian. There might be a straggler in there too that I'm not aware of, but we don't. Russian artillery doesn't seem to care about passports, and Russian tanks and troops don't seem to care about passports. Kirill Alexandrov, this American citizen that we rescued 2 weeks ago now, almost 3 weeks ago now, who was arrested for espionage. Him and his wife are the first victims of war crimes that are Americans that have lived, that are alive since World War II. Russians didn't seem to care that he was an American. So because the Russians don't care about passports, we don't care about passports either, frankly. So if you are in need and you're in a bad spot and I can get to you and I have the resources to do it, I have no problem rescuing anybody. I don't care where they're from. We are donor funded. We need financial help real bad, though. These things are crazy. These things are very expensive and they're very hard. And we need donations, and we need donations very badly. ProjectDynamo.org, shameless plug. I've left my pride on the table a long time ago.
No, I mean, for this kind of work, do it. When you said sometimes it takes 3 to 4 days to negotiate a checkpoint, talk to me a little bit more about the fear level. I'm sure the people you're rescuing are already terrified, but for you guys, as you're talking to Russian military, how do you feel in those moments? And does it ever get dicey? Are you ever like, oh my gosh, we're probably not going to get out of here?
Yeah, just for media purposes, I don't really get into our interactions with any of these
Got
folks.
It.
What I will say is they sent the guy to kill me on May 11th at a pickup that we did. So to suffice it to say that it's dangerous is all. It is dangerous. It is scary.
Got
we've
it.
We've taken artillery fire. We've had a couple of really, really, really close calls out here in the contested areas and even in the Ukrainian areas, to be frank. So it is Ukraine is an active war zone. It just is. No matter where you are in the country, in the occupied areas, in the contested areas, or in the Ukrainian held territory, it is a war zone. A Ukrainian checkpoint are armed with guys with machine guns who are looking for bad guys, and they will kill you where you stand if you do the wrong thing. They will, and that's okay. They're a country at war, so that's appropriate, right? But it is a war zone. There's no complete with everything that war zones have. Although there's landmines, there's artillery, there's missiles, there's spies, there's saboteurs, there's hitmen, there's criminal stuff. There's all kinds of things here that are very, 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 very complicated.
Are you like on Telegram and WhatsApp? How do people get a hold of you and say, hey, Brian, can you come save me?
Yeah, we're on everything. So I have a team of case managers who are the real unsung heroes of Project Dynamo. These are we're all volunteers. Everyone, I'm not paid. I don't have a salary yet. We're working on that, but to date, we haven't figured out a way to make we haven't figured out a way to pay ourselves yet. Again, from a donation perspective, every dollar goes to an operation. So 10 months without a paycheck. People find us through our website. People find us through social media. People find us through media like Fox. They go to the website, they register, or they call, or they find us through Telegram or Viber or WhatsApp groups or all kinds of different ways. A lot of referrals. There's a lot of scam groups out here that, you know, such a deal I have for you. Yeah. Send me $10,000 and I'll get you out of Mariupol. You send them 10 grand, they keep your money and they disappear. We don't do that. We don't charge anybody money. Nobody, I'm not a bus service. If you are fleeing your home, I'm not going to charge money to leave. If you have the means to make a donation, by all means. If you don't, that's cool too. So we've always been that way. Even in Afghanistan, when we were landing Airbus A320s, we were that way also. We never charged. It never made any sense to me when people charge people fleeing money. I just never really, that never really sat well with me, for me personally.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Speaking of Afghanistan, that's, I think, when I first heard about Project Dynamo, I think many of us did. I want your thoughts. Just take us back to the fall of, 2021, or really the late summer. When the Biden administration was saying, there are some odd 100 Americans left, were you like, that's not true? Or like, what were you situationally aware of as things were falling apart there?
So oddly, it was General Austin, Secretary of Defense Austin, General Austin, and Secretary of State Blinken that were testifying before. They were testifying on the Hill is where those numbers came from. That's where that big soundbite came from. That was September 17th, and 2.5 days later, we delivered 122 to Chicago. So we were unaware that that's what they had said. So we got beat up a little bit because they said, yeah, about 100 Americans. Then we showed up with 122 and it kind of messed up their talking points a little bit. I didn't mean it, but as far as Afghanistan goes, we have not pivoted to Ukraine. We expanded. We're actually still doing things in Afghanistan. We did an Afghanistan operation last week. We have a few more Afghanistan operations coming up in the next 10 days. So
what operations? Who are you taking out? Who are you helping?
These are people who are at risk of being killed by the Taliban, is what I'll say. They're not here yet, so I'm a little squeamish about disclosing who they are and that whole thing. But the 95% of the people that we've pulled out of Afghanistan have been American citizens or green card holders, meaning lawful permanent residents. They have businesses in America. They go to school here. They live here. All that stuff. They're not refugees. They got stuck in Afghanistan after the military left and couldn't get out. That's the vast majority of the people that we pulled out of Afghanistan. That said, there's a few other folks, what we call Project Nomad, Operation Nomad is what we call it internally. And these are folks that were of definite value due to their position or their service. Like diplomats or very senior intelligence officers and that kind of thing that we've also assisted in getting out as well. So
yeah, Afghanistan, I feel like I could talk to you about that whole situation for a long time in and of itself, given the humanitarian crisis, the food shortages, the mass starvation that everybody is supposedly facing there, the women and girls who, can't go to school if they're over a certain age. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. I'm sure you get outreach from people in Afghanistan all the time. Yes.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, our first big we got to the northern border August 20th or so, When everybody was looking at Kabul, we went to the north where nobody was. That's always the way Dynamo has been. If there's a lot of resources somewhere, we don't go there. So we went to the north early on. Mm. We were there all through the closing of Kabul, or the leaving of the military, U.S. military from Kabul. We were there for the whole thing. Our first big monster operation that we did was in September. So the military leaves, August 31st or 30th, actually. We do our big thing on the 17th or 18th or 19th of September. So that's fine. But we did we've done a number of operations after that, including one in January, which is fine. But that January operation is still with American citizens and green card holders. That means that they've been on the run for about 5 months. Wow. That's a long time. That's a long time to have an American passport in your pocket and not get caught. So the folks in September that we got out were a huge group, literally a giant plane load. But the reality is they were only in trouble for a couple of weeks. They were all trying to get out from July or so, tried to get through during August. They get left behind. Okay, we come in, we take them out in September, and then they're home and happening. Not exactly a pleasant experience, but not terrible either, right? Scary in that transitional period. The folks that we pulled out in December and January, they've been on the run since August or longer.
Wow.
And those stories are truly just every single one of them is blood curdling pretty much. I mean, there are some pretty dire circumstances there. So the idea that there were people still there in January is what I would say was a big challenge.
Brian, if people don't know you from Afghanistan, they might know you from those articles out of Ukraine when you and your team rescued three premature babies, including twins. The girl, Sophia, went to a British couple. The boys, Lenny and Moshe, went to a couple in Chicago. These were babies apparently born to surrogates, correct me if I'm wrong, and I know surrogacy is a big business in Ukraine. That must have been insane. I know you've talked about it to other outlets, the logistics of doing that. But tell me a little bit about like the surrogacy work that you're doing to save babies. These are babies who are born to Ukrainian women, but by their surrogacy paperwork, they're citizens of other countries.
Correct. Yeah. So it's the surrogate. So Lenny and Moshe Spector and baby Sophia, the Brit, from a blood pressure perspective, I've seen a lot of crazy things. I've had a lot of crazy experiences in my career and my life. And I will tell you, when that was over, I slept for like 3 days.
I'm sure.
Moving premature babies from NYU to Lenox Hill in New York is stressful. And then doing it in a foreign country is even more stress. And then in a war zone is even more stress. And both sets, the boys and baby Sophia, were at different hospitals, and we took artillery. The ground was shaking at both locations. So from Russian artillery. And then we had to drive across the entire country. This was early days in the war. So it was a mad dash to the border with three very, 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 very ill babies, all of whom survived.
Premature.
They're on incubators, feeding tubes, ventilators, the whole thing. So scary. One of them, it was a lot of stress there. So we've been doing baby operations ever since then. Multiple times a week, we've done, I want to say, 40 of them or so.
Wow.
give or take. So the thing with this, so I, that was my first exposure to surrogacy as a technique or as a way to make a family. And what you learn through this is that most people that are not most, pretty much all, of people who are using a surrogate to make a family, they've been, this is the end of a 7 or 8 or 9 year process. They tried the natural way, that didn't work. They tried rounds of IVF, that didn't work. And it's usually the last step before adoption. So, and they start this process about a year to a year and a half in advance. So when these people started their surrogacy journey in Ukraine, the war wasn't here yet. So imagine 8 years of trying to make a baby and it doesn't work. Finally, you figure out a way to do it with a surrogate. The sperm and the egg, they make an embryo, and the surrogate accepts it, which is a whole big process by itself. A lot of science and a lot of failure. It doesn't always work. All kinds of problems. And finally, it's working. And finally, she's pregnant. And finally, oh, wow, we're going to be parents and it's going to be wonderful. And good news, Vladimir Putin invades the place where your surrogate lives. Yeah, that's pretty tough. And to add insult to injury, there's no U.S. embassy here, so you can't get your baby a passport easily. So how do you get a baby across the border? How does that work? And we do it. We do it day in and day out. So I could tell you there's a way, but it is very, very, very complicated. The tactical execution is just as complicated as the administrative process to do these operations. And again, they're very expensive. If you like babies and you think you know you can get behind babies, please donate money to Project Buffalo. It's money. It's like that easy.
Brian,
I tell everyone.
I know that easy. I know I only have you for like one more minute, and I have a million questions, and most of them are like about logistics and technicalities because they're that's fascinating. I think like how do you guys do this stuff? But I'll end with this. I read that the U.S. barred a flight out of Kabul with people you had on board who you'd rescued. I think it was last September. And you were like on the phone, sort of trying to like manage this. Talk to us about briefly about your relationship with the U.S. government. And does your team vet anyone's documents? Like I'm sure that people are confused and maybe some are even suspicious. Like, who are you bringing over? I mean, how do you negotiate with the U.S. government? What's your relationship like with them?
So we've had a complicated relationship with the U.S. government. We love them. They don't. They sometimes like us. Sometimes they don't. but we like them. We do. We work hand in hand with state every single day. And I'll tell you that the consular officers that we work with are as patriotic as me. They're hamstrung by policies that are not up to them. So a lot of them want to do more and they can't. So the institution sometimes doesn't let them support as much as they want to. Having said, as far as vetting people, it's in Afghanistan, it's one of the reasons why we focus on Americans and green card holders is because it's very easy to vet them. I send a list to the State Department and to Homeland Security, and they tell me yes, no, maybe so. They tell me, you know, if somebody is not good, they won't tell me why they're not good, but they'll say that this person isn't going to make it through immigration and customs. And we say, got it, no problem. And we don't fly them, and that's okay. So I don't fight them or anything like that, you know, but we do with Americans that we're bringing, anyone that we're bringing to America, the State Department knows, Homeland Security knows, we telegraph our moves very loudly and proudly. And our relationship with state has definitely evolved over time. At first, it was a little complicated. They probably didn't like us a whole lot because we broke a lot of China. We did things that were Dynamo is cool because we're the first of so many things. So whenever you're the first and you're paving the way, it makes government and bureaucracy incredibly uncomfortable. That's not because they're bad. It's just because it's bureaucracy, and that's okay. That's fine. But we work. We have a really, really, really good relationship with U.S. Embassy Warsaw, and U.S. Embassy Kiev, and State Department Maine and Washington D.C. They help us out all the time. They do. Whenever they can, they do. I will say, whenever they can.
Brian Stern, co-founder of Project Dynamo, thank you so much for your time and for the work that you do. It's incredible. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Precise, personal, powerful. It's America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, the Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.